Good morning. So great to see everybody gathered together. I love seeing our sanctuary full for a time of worship. Always a wonderful way to begin our week together. I would like to welcome everyone here to our worship service at Flat Springs Baptist Church. If you are a guest with us, welcome. We're excited you are here, and we have a way that we would like to gain a little more information about you. There are guest cards. They're located directly in front of you in the pew there. That's a way for us to just get a little more information and hopefully provide you with some more information. If you fill that out and place it in the offering plate when it comes through, we'll be able to take care of that. As always, we do have just a few announcements before we begin our worship service to make sure we're aware of a couple things. First off, I really want to focus on our Baptist men's trip to Kentucky, which will be here soon, October 29th, leaving for several nights. Wonderful opportunity to continue our partnership as a church with Crossroads Community Baptist Church. Questions about that, see Randy Keck, Davis Harris. They are coordinating everything, a good group scheduled to go already. And as a church, we can continue to support this by bringing in non-perishable food items and clothing. In any way, shape, or form, it will be used and is a tremendous asset to the church and community there for them to continue to reach out and spread the gospel message with everyone there. They're in great need of those items as well as more. If you talk with them, they can share more information and keep praying for that opportunity as well. Also, October 26th, you will see these little handouts here on each side. Please take these and begin to continue to pass these out. Our trunk or treat, which is for the entire church, for the entire community to come out. A new way for us to celebrate fall with our children as they like to dress up in costumes and enjoy a meal together, a time of fellowship. A lot more information is on these cards. So take that, pass those out, and be ready for that time. Also, our Wednesday night supper this coming Wednesday. Barbecue chicken, slaw, and green beans. Coming after a wonderful block party yesterday, we're excited for Wednesday night meals to continue. It's been just great to see the fellowship hall during those times. And those are our announcements right now, unless someone else had one that didn't get to me quite in time. Okay. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads so we can focus on how God is preparing our hearts for this worship service through prayer. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your presence together as your church. Lord, you've called us together for a specific purpose, and we never want to take for granted the moments that you call us together like this. God, when we come together for worship, singing songs of praise to your name as we adore you, Lord. God, opening up your holy word that infuses us with your Holy Spirit's discernment and wisdom, we are asking for the opportunity to retain that and use that in the week ahead as we continue to be molded in your Son's likeness. God, during this moment that we have, just in a short, brief hour, we ask that you block out the distractions that may be around us, the tasks that may be before us, the responsibilities we may have, the stress we may feel for any number of things. God, we want to rest in your presence now. We want to acknowledge your holiness, and we want to be ready to worship you, and that is what we're praying for right now. And God, we ask this in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we have a time of our musical meditation, we're going to have a modern reading of Psalm 41. Begin our worship service right after this moment of musical meditation to prepare us to focus on what the Lord has for us this morning.
I believe that people who give of themselves for the sake of others, who demonstrate genuine concern for those who are less fortunate, are especially blessed by God. They are precious in God's eyes and are protected by Him. Even as they face the hatred of their enemies or the conflicts and the illness of this existence, the Lord delivers and sustains them. It is for this reason that I dare to claim God's gracious intervention on my behalf. It is true that my sins are many, I reached desperately for God's forgiving mercy. I received no comfort from many who I thought were my friends. I could drop dead. They could care less. When we meet, their words are empty. Their thoughts pregnant with suspicion. When we part, they go out to spread their suspicions abroad, imagining the worst about me and whispering behind my back.
I can imagine their conversation. One would think she'd be beyond this sort of thing. Why, she's as bad as the worst of them. She's had it. She won't crawl out of this. Even the one person I trusted the most, in whom I confided, with whom I lovingly related, even she looks down her nose at me, as one she would rather step on than support. She no longer wants anything to do with me. My loving God, you are truly gracious to me. You have not cast me aside or allowed me to be destroyed. You know that I honestly want to serve you, and you have demonstrated your acceptance and concern for me by sustaining me and drawing me even closer to yourself. May God be praised forever.
Okay, our first hymn this morning is hymn number 407. We'll sing all three verses of Because He Lives.
Thank you. dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we come today giving thanks for the many, many blessings you have done for us and given to us. We thank you for the blessing of our pastor. On this special day and all days, may Gary feel our love and appreciation. Dear Lord, on our struggles and weaknesses, please let us continue to focus on thee. Be with those in need, and we ask that you accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Make sure I give everybody just a little bit longer to make their way down here. I love seeing that. Everybody coming down from all places in the sanctuary. Well, you know, I always love to talk to you a little bit and get you thinking and answer a question. And yesterday we had our block party here at church, and I'm sure a lot of you have been to a party of some kind before. You know, we have Halloween parties, Christmas parties, a birthday party, like I mentioned, the block party. There's all kinds of different parties that you may have. So I want to ask you, what is your favorite part of a party? Think of a birthday party you've been to, or a Christmas party, or anything. What's your favorite part of the party that you look forward to? You have a favorite thing at a birthday party you look forward to? The cake? Yeah, absolutely. Love the cake. Usually there's a cake at parties. What else? Opening presents, yeah, at a birthday party or even at Christmas, opening presents, that's a fun part to a party, right? What else? Opening presents again, yeah, that is good. What about playing games? You ever played games at a party? You know, we had some games yesterday. Well, you know, there's a lot that goes into planning a party. You have to think about what kind of food you're going to have at the party. You have to think about what kind of games you might have at the party. How you're going to decorate everything at the party, right? And then you have to decide who's going to come. And you have to send out invitations so people come to the party. Just like the invitation we have here for our trunk or treat, right? It says everyone's invited. Everyone's invited. You can send out invitations to people to come to a party. Now, what do you think would happen if you send out invitations and nobody came to the party? That would kind of make you feel maybe sad or disappointed, right? Well, there's a story in the Bible, and Jesus tells us this story about a king who had prepared a great party and sent out invitations to some people, and they didn't come. So let's hear what happened when Jesus tells us about this king who had sent out invitations, but nobody came to the party. Let's see what he did. Matthew 22, verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the king did, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. He invited anybody he could see. Everybody was welcome to come to the party. Well, you may wonder, well, what are we talking about parties for so much right now? Really, in the Bible, this story in particular, there's a lot more to this story than just the party. What Jesus is telling us is really important for us to know. Jesus invites us to follow him and have a relationship with him each and every day. And so my prayer is, my hope is that you will know by the Bible studies that we have, the worship we have at church, the conversations you have with your family and parents at home, to know what it means to follow Jesus because he invites us. Unfortunately, a lot of people will say no to that invitation. But I hope we all say yes to understanding what it means to follow Jesus and know that he wants us to do that each and every day. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for inviting us to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach us how to do that, God. Amen. All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay, our hymn of praise this morning is 413. Again, three verses. We'll do all three verses. Faith is the victory. That's all I'll say.
Thank you for the remembrance and those beautiful flowers today. As we gather to pray, an important part of our task is to come together and pray. To pray as a family. We do that, don't we, when we eat our meals together and maybe during our devotion times. We do that before every committee meeting. We do that before our business meeting and in Sunday school. And we do it in worship. Now we know that prayer is an intimate time between us and God. I hope you have those opportunities to pray during the day when it's just you and God. But I am convinced there's power when the congregation gathers together to lift the names and to pray. And this prayer should not always only be about the needs. It should also be about our worship. Let me ask us a question before we pray today. Is there sin in our life? I wonder if that statement raised some specific idea in our mind right then. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's something we've been saying we ought to be doing. And we know we haven't been doing it. And we were to do it unto the Lord. And we haven't been doing it. Part of this prayer is to make sure that before we leave the worship center today, we have heard from God. We have shared with Him how much we love Him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes if my sin is too strong, I'm almost embarrassed to tell God how much I love Him. My sin gets in the way of my worship. And when I don't worship well, it can affect how I live next week. How about you? So we have a list of names here that we want to be remembering. My wife wanted me to bring clarity to one announcement. My daughter, Melissa Leonard, we just put her family in here. They are having difficult times. You'll notice her husband is listed over in our ongoing list. Paul has Guillain-Barré syndrome and is paralyzed, continues to be, and we're not sure when that's going to change. And so we would appreciate you. And she is out on medical leave right now, so we would covet your prayers for that family. Sandra Sharp has been in the hospital, and we want to remember her. Sandy Tillotson is recuperating from surgery at home. There are others on this list, and especially our ongoing list, who are dealing with long problems. We want to keep them lifted up. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we gather to worship, we believe there is power in worshiping You, O God. That You can bring clarity to our thought and clarity to our motivation. That You can strengthen us for living in a world that would sometimes confuse us even about right and wrong. But in You, O God, we find clarity. So we lift these names, O God, and ask that You would bless them where You know they have very specific needs. And then, oh Lord, we lift ourselves to You today in worship. That You might first hear us when we confess our sin. That You might indeed, oh Lord, forgive us of that sin as You have promised us You faithfully will do. And then, Lord, receive our worship as You create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. And then, O Lord, when we worship You, You will bring thoughts to our mind that maybe we would not have thought before. You will impress upon us things we need to do that maybe we would not have thought of those things before. And we will leave Your worship center different, ready to be different people to a community who needs different people. Lord, do that in our heart and in our life, for we lean upon You in our weakness, for You, O Lord, are strong. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you, choir. What a challenging anthem. You, O God, are the potter and I am the clay. Make me to be like you. Very, very powerful. Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me now to Psalms 41. I want to thank Kim and Justin for doing that reading from a book I've got called The Psalms Now. This is one of the Davidic Psalms, David's Psalms, that seems to be about a person who had a chronic illness. In fact, the first three verses may well have been what the priest might have read for those that were sick in times of need in the temple. And then in verse 4, we get the personal confession of the one who has struggled, who struggled with his condition, who has struggled with how people have interpreted his condition. You remember the book of Job when he had everything going wrong in his life and his friends came and told him it must be God. No doubt the one in this psalm feels that way. Our message this morning is going to be from weakness to weakness, from our week to week. I tried to come up with a play on words. How'd I do? You know, we live from week to week. Well, we live in our weakness from one weakness to another. That's why we need to worship every Sunday. That's why we need to pray every day. It's why we need to find ourselves in God's Word, abiding there, because we live week to week. I think Psalms 41 will instruct us. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. And hear now the English Standard Version of the modern version that Kim and Justin shared with us a moment ago. The priest might have said, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up on the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health." And then the writer says, "As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity. And when he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have upheld me against because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. And amen. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, here we are again. You know our success and we offer them as praise to you. You know our failure and we're thinking about them again now in the context of our worship. And we pray, oh God, that you might give us your plan for our life and your strategy for dealing with those areas where our life is not honoring you. You might deliver us from our enemies and from the evil one, that you might sustain us in the world of sickness and illness, that you might console us even when the circumstances are tough. For Lord, we depend on you. For we realize, we who love you, there's nothing else we can depend upon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," page 308. If you would just mark that and be ready when we get to that in just a few moments. I would like for us to consider how we are. Sometimes when I would play golf with Drew and I would ask Drew that customary greeting, "How are you?" Drew gave me a very unique answer. He said, "I'm feeling so good today, I'd give $10 for a headache." I've never been willing to give $10 for a headache, Drew. I've just never been there. But doesn't that communicate? That's good. Life can be good, can't it? It can be fantastic. I've gone to other people and I've asked that customary greeting, "How are you?" And they've said, "Preacher, don't ask. Just don't even ask. We don't even want to go there." And my guess is somewhere between paying $10 for a headache and "please don't even ask" is where we all are today. We are gathered in this place with the expectancy to hear from God. My goodness, if y'all come Sunday after Sunday to hear from me, you are of all people most pitiful. But if you come Sunday after Sunday to hear from God, I believe you're in the right place. And I believe when we grab those glimpses of God's Word, of how God inhabits the praise of His people and how God delivers to us His message through His divine Word, when we gain those glimpses, we find strength for living. We find ability to do what we ordinarily might not be able to do. So if you're like me and you live one day at a time, week to week, moment by moment, then let us hear what the psalmist might teach us today about the three weaknesses I believe we all have to live in, from one weakness to the next weakness to the next weakness. And I am reminded that God is made strong in our weakness. That when we become weak before God, if we were today to become weak in God's presence, I believe there's strength that we might not have experienced quite yet. The first one is that we are weak in body. The first three verses, as I mentioned earlier, were probably what the priest would say over those who they would have healing services and pray for God to be all things to all people. Chronic sickness is a difficult assignment in life. I have experienced that personally with a wife and a daughter. I have dealt with that throughout my ministry with people that I love who are members of my congregation who have struggled with sickness. I remember one of the first moments in my life when I was planning to be the pastor at Pleasant Hill Christian Church, still in seminary. You know, you should always call a seminarian because they pretty much, close your ears, Matt, they pretty much know everything, you know, and I was there. In fact, I was still in seminary, and I knew everything. If I didn't, I had a group of professors that I could help. They could help me find the answers. But Louise Parrish became one of my greatest teachers. I remember praying, "Lord, if you want me to be the pastor of this church," they had a very unique call system. I preached two trial sermons. and young in the ministry and trying to discern the will of God in a time when I didn't know if I wanted to quit being a Baptist and become a Christian or not. That Pleasant Hill Christian Church, y'all. Stay with me on that. Okay. I remember praying, Lord, I need just as an affirmation for me, I'd like for six people in those two sermons to make some decision. Then I remember having that conversation. People don't come down during trial sermons, preacher. What are you thinking, Gary? But I remember holding to that. And I remember it was the second sermon, and I had had five people, and we were on the last verse. Five people. And I'd done the math, you know, and that's math I can do. And I had said six. I don't know why I said six. Never done anything like that since. Don't think I'd advise anybody to ever do it. But in that moment in my life, that was where I was. And I remember we were singing the last hymn and the last verse of the hymn. And we had gotten to the chorus. And I was thinking, I'm not going to be the pastor at Pleasant Hill Christian Church. I'm just not going to do it. And I'd made up my mind. And it was almost like the last line. I mean, the song was, we were just about done. And Louise Parrish made her way down the aisle. And I accepted the call to be pastor. 6 weeks later, I went to Wake Medical Hospital. Louise Parrish was going to have surgery. And they opened her up and they closed her back. And they said there was cancer over all of her major organs. And she would probably be dead within 6 months. And then I began to realize, what is a young preacher boy going to do now with this dear saint who was part of the affirmation of my call? And I remember going to visit her. And she began to teach me. She began to teach me lessons because I would walk in. I remember that first time I walked in, I was saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't have a great word. And when I walked in, Louise says, well, we always depend on God in everything, don't we, preacher? That's how we started that conversation. And I never left her side that she had not blessed me more than I ever was able to bless her. And she lived 6 months, and she lived a year, and she lived another year, and she lived another year. And my last year, that my fourth year as pastor, Louise passed away. And I had the privilege to visit her on numerous occasions. And what she taught me was a reality that we all live in weak bodies. But when God is in the midst of a weak body, there's some amazing things that can happen. There's some powerful realities. I don't know if you're like me, but we sometimes don't realize how fragile we are. Well, I was reminded this past week. I got a wake-up call. You ever get a, anybody here need a wake-up call? Anybody? We might be selling headaches for $5, you know, just to make it easy. Well, let me tell you my wake-up call. And we had plans, and I needed to unload the truck. I had it loaded down with a trailer and the golf cart on it. And my wife needed the truck the next day. And it was 10 o'clock when we all came to that realization. Why do we always come to those realizations at 10 o'clock at night, you know? I said, well, let's go move it. Let's go do it now. I've got to leave early in the morning, and I don't want to mess with it in the morning. Let's go do it now. And so we jumped into the truck, and we started moving it from the front to the back. And I had on a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, and I felt something on the side of my leg, kind of like something poked me. And it was like, what was that? Well, I didn't give it any thought, and about 6 or 7 seconds later, and I had now made my way to in the truck with Lunette beside me to the back, and I felt that poke right in the middle of my stomach. And at that point, I figured lights would be appropriate. And so I reached up, and I cut on the interior lights of my truck. And the moment I cut on the lights and looked down, I saw a brown spider fall from my lap onto my floorboard. And I don't know what you would have done in that moment, but the first thought I had in my moment was, what does a brown recluse spider look like? That's the first thought. And the first words out of my mouth were, "Net, this might not be good." Well, in those moments, you began to do all kinds of things. You knew you'd been bitten twice. You didn't know what kind of spider had bit you. That's a wake-up call. That's a life-changing moment. For us, 2.5 hours, it was pretty exciting. We rolled out our immediate trick to the emergency room. We immediately went, and she grabbed the tablet, and I grabbed the laptop, and I started watching videos. I've never watched a video of a brown recluse spider before, but I have now. Three of them, as a matter of fact. And when I began to be somewhat more convinced that I had not been bitten by, and did I mention the numbness in my right hand when I was undoing the trailer? I think that probably was nerves, don't you? When I ruled that out, I began to have a peace to return to me. But I remember all the thoughts that I began to think in that moment when I thought I might have been bitten by a venomous, poisonous spider. Come to find out, it was an orbed weaver spider. And the only thing he can do is make you feel like you were poked a couple of times if he bites you. He's harmless. But I began to make another realization. I figured, well, you know, there are probably folks in Lee County that know what a spider looks like, a bad spider. So I began to check it out. You know what? There's nobody in Lee County knows what a brown recluse spider looks like. And if you do, I want to know. Before we leave, I want you to say, "Preacher, you get bit again, you call me. Because I'm going to call you." Okay? And I thought about that for a little while. You know, every one of us sitting here in weak bodies. Every one of us. Now, some of us are stronger than others. I'll give you that. But we're all weak. And in that weakness, we have two choices. Either to depend on ourselves, or to depend on God. Now that depending on ourselves may take all kinds of other forms. Doctors and gurus. Someone said that in 2013, in 1 3-month period, Amazon put on 1,000 books all on the title of How to Be Happy. Who are you going to depend on? We live in weak bodies. Sometimes a spider bite can cause us to stop and reflect. Not only do we live in weak bodies, but we also live in weak minds. I love what he says when he gives us in verse 6, "And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words." Empty words. Have you ever started off a sentence, "I don't know what to say," and then you said something? I have. Who do we trust? I think sometimes we trust the minds of men way too much. Our culture tells us things that aren't even close to what God has in mind for the human race. And yet, if we're not careful, we listen. And after listening so long, it becomes more and more our norm. It becomes easier and easier to swallow. Maybe those words that at first would have offended us because our faith told us it was not the right way to treat people, to deal with people, to do things, to be. But in time, we began to listen. Garrett Fagan summarized the Romans, that culture in which the early church was established. He says in his description, the ideas of universal human dignity were almost all but non-existent, and large swatches of the population were seen as inherently worthless. Weak members of society were objects not of compassion, but of derision. More than most, Romans lionized strength over weakness, victory over defeat, dominion over obedience. Losers paid a harsh price and got what they deserved, and they were handled ruthlessly. Roman politics became a ruthless game of total winners and abject losers. The drive to dominate and not to be forced to bow before a rival was paramount. That's why they would entertain themselves with brutality, to take people and put them against animals and watch them be destroyed, or to watch two men fight till one would die. We live in a culture that is not quite that bad, or is it? Oh, we don't have the arenas yet, but indeed, we deal with people. We deal with morality as winners and losers. To give our minds over to Christ is a daily challenge. There may be someone sitting here in the worship center today that remembers when you walked down the aisle, maybe you made a public profession of faith, or maybe you made a rededication of your life and you said, I'm going to live the way you want me to live, Lord. But now it's been some time since that commitment. You remember? It's been some time. Maybe it's been weeks. Maybe it's been months. Maybe it's been years. It's been some time, though. It's been some time. I wonder in our, will you forgive me, our weak-mindedness, if maybe we ought to remember those commitments. Richard S. Halverson, the former U.S. Senate chaplain, used to use this image, and it's powerful, I think. He says, you're going to meet an old man or woman someday down the road, 10 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now, waiting there for you. You'll be catching up with him or her. What kind of old man or old woman are you going to meet? They may be a seasoned, soft, gracious person, a gentleman or a gentlewoman who has grown old gracefully, surrounded by a host of friends and family, people who call them blessed. Or this person we're going to meet may be a bitter, disillusioned, dried up, and these are Richard's word, old buzzard, without a good word for anyone, soured, friendless, and alone. That old person you're going to meet is you. They'll be the composite of everything you do, of everything you think today and tomorrow, of every choice you make, and the choices we make even in these next very few moments. Their mind will be molded by what you believe. Their heart will be turning out to be what you've been putting into it. That little man or that little woman, every thought, every deed goes into them. Every day, he says, in every way. You're becoming more and more like yourself. Amazing, but true. You're beginning to look more like yourself, to think more like yourself, to talk more like yourself. You're becoming yourself more and more. And then he gives us two choices. Live only in terms of what you're getting out of life, and that old man or old woman gets smaller, drier, harder, crabbier, and more self-centered. But open your lives up to others. Think in terms of what you can give, your contribution to life. And the old man or the old woman grows larger, softer, kinder, and greater. I would add to that, if we sprinkle that with our faith and season that with our relationship with Jesus Christ and allow Him to take our weak-mindedness, He can make us strong. And finally this morning, not only are we weak in body and weak in mind, but I would suggest we're weak in spirit. We're weak in spirit. I think we're distracted pilgrims walking through life. It's been reported since cell phones have become so popular, and especially smartphones, that the incidence of pedestrians walking and getting hurt has grown. Last year, 1,152 people were treated in emergency rooms for suffering injury while walking using a cell phone or some other electronic. The one I like the best is the California man who was texting his boss and nearly strolled into the path of a 400-pound black bear. The distracted texter looked up and saw the bear only a few feet away before he even knew he was there. He dropped his phone and ran. I wonder, do we have a focused spirit today? Are we distracted? What distracted us last week? Did our job? More than likely. Did problems? They can become a distraction. And I saved the most important one, the largest one, the most hateful one for last. Did we distract ourselves last week with that person we're becoming? Wrong goals, wrong thoughts, wrong desires. In verse 4, he says, Lord, I know I've sinned. To realize that sin is in every life. You see, the greatest gift of worship is that we leave this place refreshed. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that our hope? That when we walk out, we'll say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. I felt lifted up. I felt God spoke to me and gave me some positive words. And I want to share with us very quickly this morning how that can be a formula for every Sunday. To do that, there's a first step. It's to realize our condition. The Bible says when we're faithful and just to confess our sins, recognize God's work and need for God in our life, and ask God to forgive our sins. I want to ask this question this way. When's the last time we asked God very specifically, God, forgive me for this sin? This sin of how I use the internet this week. This sin of what I said to a family member or a coworker. God, forgive me for you fill in the blank. You know what I've discovered in my life? I don't know about yours, but what I've discovered in my life is when I say, Lord, forgive us of our sins, I haven't said anything. I've just said that word. And I haven't thought about what I've done that disappoints God. I haven't thought about what I know that action is, that attitude, that spirit, that prejudice that separates me from Almighty God and makes me less the Christian than I need to be. And the Bible says, Gary, if you'll confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to remove it as far as the east is from the west. That's a long way. And I believe I can leave worship today lighter than I came in. Happier than I came in. Stronger than I came in. More concentrated on God at work in my life than when I came in. If I'm willing to confess my sin and ask God to forgive me. Because what I've discovered, I don't know about you, but when I've really done that in my life, really given God that, say, Lord, I know, as David will say in a psalm we're going to read before long, against you and you only have I sinned. Then suddenly that barrier between me and God is gone. And the music sounds sweeter. The stained glass looks more beautiful. The air you breathe it is more heavenly. And your worship transcends. And it changes things. That's God's plan. And all of us who've tried it, and maybe all of us here who know it works. Weak in body, spider bite will prove it. Weak in mind, unable to think even that by myself without God's help. And weak in spirit, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment now, where maybe we're about to voice a confession and say, God, I could be a better husband if I'll confess this sin to you. I'll be a better wife if I won't walk out of here with this still in my life. I could be a better son or daughter if I will understand that some of the things I'm doing, saying, thinking, visiting, involved in, are separating me from your power, O God. We stand before you as folks with sick beds, spiritual sick beds, chronic illness. And we need you to be gracious to us, O God. And you've promised that if we're faithful to confess, you're faithful to forgive. And then our worship, even in this last moment, could change everything. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our plea is, pass me not, O gentle Savior, page 308. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, we want to invite you, encourage you to do that. May not a one of us leave this place with an unresolved sin in our heart. May we leave it here with God and go out in His refreshing power to be His people as we stand together and sing. Thank you. Let me just quickly remind you of the change in the menu, that we are going to be enjoying some of that wonderful barbecue chicken that we had yesterday, and that's going to be our meal for this Wednesday night. And sign up and come be a part of that. Let me also invite you, right after that meal, if you're not involved in some of our children programs, we're meeting here in the sanctuary for a time of prayer and Bible study. We take one of the passages in the bulletin for you to read this week in preparation for next week's sermon. And my goal is, I'm going to start small. I want to fill up this section. Now, there's a lot of room right here yet, okay? But come and maybe come and eat at 6:30. We start the Bible study here. We start serving at 5:45, and then we can come together. I believe God would honor a faithful sanctuary full of folks praying and studying His Word together on Wednesday night. So you're invited and to come be a part of that. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His forgiven, weak but strong by Him people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, strengthen us today. And now that you have heard our confessions of our sins, your forgiveness falls like the misty rain that is outside. And you cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And now we go out in the strength of your forgiveness and the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the salt and light in this community that it desperately needs. We do so in Jesus' name.